Darren Millard, former goaltender himself, joins us from Vegas. He's been at this a long time, but he's never seen a tournament like this one. Darren, my friend, how are you doing today?
Very good. Happy Stanley Cup playoffs in August.
Absolutely, man. It's been fun, and I'm calling this month Hawkist, in fact. I think it's great. It'll be followed up by Pucktember and maybe Pucktober. We'll see how deep this thing goes, but it was fun. It was a marathon. It's already underway, 1-1 between the Canes and the Rangers right now in Toronto. What were your overall impressions from opening weekend in the National Hockey League?
Impressed that that there was so much intensity and physicality right out of the gate. And you mentioned the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. You had two big hits, a goal, and a fight in the first 2.5 minutes of the Stanley Cup playoffs when it started on Saturday morning. And that carried through right to last night and the altercation at the Minnesota bench with Michael Ferland. And there was a lot in between that occurred. So any questions about players not being able to manufacture intensity or find another gear without fans, without that environment in Rogers Place and Scotiabank Arena have been washed away. It's been fantastic. The hockey has been probably a little bit less efficient as we would normally see in the opening of the Stanley Cup playoffs because of the layoff, but there's been no issue with the intensity.
There were lots of impressive performances, but from a team perspective, which team was at the top of your list in terms of how they played and won in the first 2 days?
Philadelphia, because how they won was with great goaltending, which was a question mark. Carter Hart receiving his first playoff appearance and starting assignment, and then the depth that they received. I'm a massive fan of the Flyers' blue line and what they're able to do and how they're able to move the puck. Travis Sanheim is a guy that, when you see the goals, look up the amount of goals he scores to how he scores them, that you wonder how he's not a 50-goal man. Because everything he does when it converts to an offensive opportunity is spectacular. And then Provorov and Gudas, and then they got depth production. And Philadelphia, I think, is the biggest sleeper in this entire tournament, from where they were at the start of the year to where they are now, and being the top seed in the opening of the round robin. That was one of the bigger statements that I saw. I know it wasn't one of the best of five series, but still really impressive.
Yeah, it was an impressive performance. You're right. And Bruce Cassidy was steamed at the way his team played, and he showed some emotion in his Zoom press conference after the game as well. I was thinking more along the lines of the qualifiers just because there's more on the lines. I was most impressed in qualifying games by the Calgary Flames. What did you think of their game?
I thought that the game, it was difficult to judge because of what happened early on. With Mark Scheifele and the air being left out of the let out of the balloon a little bit with Winnipeg Jets and just not being able to it appeared to be mentally recover from watching a teammate be writhing around in so much pain on the ice and then being carried off the ice and then you had the Patrick Laine, which was much later in the game, but still I was. I found that one difficult to judge. I know that there was some response from Winnipeg physically with Blake Wheeler, but I'll be curious to see what kind of answer Winnipeg has today. And that outburst from Paul Maurice, I totally understand it. I thought it was somewhat expected, but I thought Jeff Ward did a great job in answering back, but not turning it into accelerating it and taking it a step further. I thought both coaches said their piece, but I think game two right out of the gate is going to be one that I'm curious to see if it's more like what I expected from this series.
And Winnipeg is up against it as much as any team simply because of the schedule. I'll get to that in just 1 second. I mean, not to mention the loss of Scheifele, we think, and the loss of Laine potentially today. But they play the early game today,
and
Darren.
Don't remember.
Then they play tomorrow.
Brian Little's out. Brian Little's out, too. Like, they haven't had him for basically, I mean, all year. But, it's the turnaround is going to be extreme. And they're going to have, Winnipeg's going to have to, Scotty, turn this into much less of a track meet and just win it in the ditches and the mud and try to turn this into more of sloppy hockey and you know what, I know that they were missing Scheifele and he means a lot to their entries on the power play, but boy, when you have 17 shots total in a game in which you're granted 7 power plays, that's a real sign that they were off their game and probably as much mentally, and that carried over to the hands and the feet. So let's see what they can do with a fresh start.
Just before we leave that series, you are not of the opinion that was intentional, are you?
No, but I listen. When you play the way Matthew Tkachuk plays, it's not surprising that somebody would jump to that conclusion. It's just something that he has to live with, and I think he's comfortable in living with it because he plays hard and he plays on the edge. But no, it's I don't think it was intentional at all.
In conversation with Darren Millard this morning, working the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast, of course, longtime hockey man on this side of the border, right here on the Scott Rintoul Show. Let's talk about the Vancouver Canucks. You mentioned the word comfortable. Minnesota certainly looked like that in their own end. Vancouver did not create high danger chances. What was your evaluation of the Vancouver Canucks?
You know, I didn't think they were as bad as what the reaction was from the fan base and some of the media. I thought Stalock made some 10 bell saves and was really, really good last night. And he's an aggressive goaltender. And that's where I'm looking to see in game two how much the Vancouver Canucks try to take advantage of that and attempt to go east-west a little bit more than they were and try to wait Stalock out. He is by far the most aggressive goaltender in these playoffs, and that is something that includes Marc-Andre Fleury, who is well known for challenging. So that's one area. But I didn't think they were as bad. I thought they get a couple of bounces, they'd be right in there. One area is that they're just going to have to, whether it's you call it creating chances or just creating pressure with the puck and putting some pressure on the Minnesota Wild to do something and i.e. take a penalty. They didn't get a man advantage opportunity until late in that game. And with a power play like Vancouver has, I just with the weapons that they have, I just think that they either let Minnesota off the hook a little bit or didn't force Minnesota into being on their heels enough that they would take a penalty. So that's another area where it doesn't reflect in lack of chances or chances for, but an area that you can dictate the game a lot more.
We had the comment come in that the Canucks are not a hitting team and they spent too much of that game trying to hit. Is it a fair comment, in your opinion, Darren, to say that the way in which the Canucks were trying to be physical isn't always the most effective way in the playoffs?
Look, you've been off for 4.5 months, and you're trying to get yourself in the game. And for a lot of these guys, it's their first go-around in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and they're amped up, and they want to get involved in the game. And then that's infectious throughout the lineup. So yeah, I'm not surprised that they would come up and be more physical, but I don't think they took themselves off the game. The only time you're physical is when you don't have the puck, and that doesn't impact what you're going to do with your skill and with your opportunities. So I think saying that they were too physical or running around is a bit of misguided frustration when it comes to this team. They just have to do a better job when they have the puck and create more pressure. And pressure doesn't necessarily mean a breakaway or three or four shots in one flurry. It's holding on the puck and forcing Minnesota to play defensively.
The result that left you surprised or shocked coming out of the first 2 days?
The 12 seeds, both winning. I would not have been surprised if one of them had won. But look, and they did it in very different ways. Corey Crawford had one practice in phase three and returns and was solid. I don't think he was the reason for the win. They wanted to base on offense. And by the way, somewhere Murray Bannerman is smiling after getting lit up in the 80s in those series in the Chicago Blackhawks net.
Great mask, too. Great mask.
Yeah, brilliant. Awesome mask. He's enjoying that after having, like, no chance against the Edmonton Oilers and watching the Chicago Blackhawks lay a big number on Edmonton. But having both 12 seeds win was just wild to me, and how they did it. Carey Price was great, but the Montreal Canadiens played a really, really good hockey game, and I would expect with the likes of Connor McDavid and Draisaitl and that group, who I thought were sluggish defensively, sluggish 5-on-5. I know they put up points. I expect much more out of them, and I thought Malkin really, really, really struggled with his game for Pittsburgh. And if they get just a little bit out of him, I think they'll just be just fine.
Yeah, you could see it. Some errant shots from Evgeny Malkin. You could see he was engaged, but he just wasn't quite on, was he?
I tell you what, though. Like, you know the numbers. 80% of game one winners in a best of five go on to take the series. And that jumps to high 90s if you take a 2-0 lead. So if you're both these teams right now, you can't afford, based on, I don't care how talented you are, to put yourself in a position where you're going to have to beat the same team with life for three straight games. And this is from a Montreal team that half their fan base didn't even want to be in the tournament because all they wanted was the number one overall pick or a shot at it.
Okay, I challenge that stat a little bit because I had people throw that at me last night on Twitter as well. I do think there's some context necessary here. One, we've never seen best of five series coming out of any type of layoff like this, so I do think it's unique in that sense. And here's the other thing. It's been almost 35 years since we had best of five series in the first round. Can we apply that logic and those statistics to what we're seeing this year, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think you can. We're not going back to no forward pass or masks, goalies without masks at a time. The game was close enough to where it is now that I think you can still draw that comparison. You're right. I mean, there's more inconsistency or there's more openness to an upset now than there ever was before because of the 4.5 months. And we don't really know. I don't think you're going to know game to game until middle of the first round of the playoffs, what we're going to be able to gauge on a consistency basis. So I think that you've got a point there, but your other one is let's go throw it in English Bay.
Darren Millard joining me here this morning. I said earlier that I thought Calgary's team performance was most impressive. You went with the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't think anyone would question the most impressive individual performance was Matt Dumba. What he did before that game in Edmonton, the resulting press conference that he had as well, your reaction to Matt Dumba's speech and kneeling and raising his fist.
I think honesty is what the word that I would use. And speaking from the heart is a phrase that I would attribute to what Matt Dumba did this weekend. Not only the speech on the ice, but how he was able to acknowledge and say that and apologize for only kneeling for the American anthem, and how he pivoted off that and handled it with grace and really from the heart, honesty. So I think Matt Dumba's performance this weekend, when it comes to dealing with what is just a really serious, one of the more serious situations that we've ever encountered, and he's got people to be engaged in it, and that goes from national broadcasters like Rogers and NBC to the National Hockey League to coaches and players, and I think it's been. To have that stage and be able to be granted that stage is not something that is just handed out, and he he not only was great at acquiring it, but delivered on it. And then the next steps from that that I mentioned, he was brilliant.
There were some that were critical that certainly white players were not involved in the kneeling or raising fists, that the opinion of those who were critical was, look, Matt Dumba was going through this alone, and that's been the problem the whole time for minority players. I'm not sure where you're at with that, Darren. I would say this, the fact that these questions are going to continue to be raised and that there is going to be a pressure for other players in the league to do something in order to support the likes of Matt Dumba and the Hockey Diversity Alliance, I am glad that those questions will continue in the sense that this conversation needs to continue. It can't be a one-day event.
Yeah, I think there will always be critics, whether you kneel or you stand. There will be someone on all sides. But it's not over. You're right, and it has to continue. But for a couple hours or a couple of days, I think we can all acknowledge that that was a big step for everybody involved. And now you can't just let it stall there. You have to keep the momentum going forward, no matter what the pace, it has to inch forward.
Lastly, I can't let you go before asking you a question about the Vegas Golden Knights. We have not yet seen them in this tournament. What are you expecting from the round robin and the team that you follow most closely?
Well, it's interesting in the sense that they are a veteran team, a team that is entering this tournament with one goal, and that is win a Stanley Cup. And there's other teams. Vancouver, for instance, I think is gaining experience through this. The Pittsburgh Penguins are trying to take one last crack with his core. So there's different goals for the Golden Knights. It is to win the Stanley Cup, and let's see what they are able to put forward in the round robin. It's no secret Pete DeBoer and company want to gain as many points as they can through this round robin and give themselves, they enter as the third seed. They have an opportunity through three games to climb a couple of spots, see where they are. I think there's still going to be some experiment. Max Pacioretty is not going to play the opener, so that's going to be a little different for this group. They won't have their leading goal scorer, and they're going to go with Robin Lehner for a couple of games in this round robin. He'll start today against Dallas Stars. So there's still question marks to be answered about this team that won 11 of its last 13 prior to the pause and looked like it was on top of its game and where we expected at the start of the year.
What a luxury to be able to have Robin Lehner when Marc-Andre Fleury's not ready to go. Hey, just before I let you go, 24 years ago today, Canada's 4x1 team in the men's relay captured gold in Atlanta. Where were you watching? Are you instantly transported back to that moment?
Yeah, I was in a campground in Deloraine, Manitoba, watching that one. And it was spectacular with my Aunt Louise and my Uncle John, who live over on my Aunt Louise lives over just outside of Nanaimo. And it was spectacular. We had a little TV outside, and I remember it well. It was it gives me goosebumps. That was a amazing time to be on top of the world when it comes to the world's fastest man and the 4x100 relay. It was amazing. Where were you?
Man, I was at my house in Kamloops. It was incredible. I will never forget it. It was August long way. I was at my mom's actually out at Shuswap Lake, and I'll never forget watching it and jumping up and down and going crazy, just going nuts. And the goosebumps come back just thinking about it.
Yeah, it was outstanding. And we knew that we had great sprinters. It was just whether we could put it together. And you didn't want that. Like, there's always that fear of the bobble or something happening, disqualification in the handoff. Could you race clean and get through it? It was amazing. I remember meeting Bruni Cernan a few years later and just being not in awe, but so proud and wanting to just share those feelings of being a Canadian and watching them win that race.
Darren, always appreciate the conversation. Hope you and yours are well. Enjoy the hockey, my friend. There's a smorgasbord of activity coming your way again today.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Scotty. Be good, buddy.